Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, Episode 70, Mutant Apocalypse. I am your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host, Scott Michella.
Hello.
And we are back, of course, to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo. We're going to have some impressions of the latest games and other Nintendo goodies. We're going to have a bunch of news to talk about, and then we will have this week's big topic, which is how we want to see ports handled on the upcoming Nintendo Switch. We've actually got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, so let's dive right into it with some impressions of a new release on the Nintendo 3DS system, Mario Party Star Rush.
I'm excited to hear what you think of this, because I can't picture myself buying this game, but you know, it's a Mario Party game on the 3DS, and
it is.
You're going to need some friends to play this game.
You are.
Not that I don't have friends, but I would rather this be an online game, and I want to hear you tell me why I should buy this, even though it's not, doesn't have any online functionality.
Well, it's definitely not online, but the good thing about it is that if you are just playing local multiplayer, you only need one cartridge, one game card. If you don't own the game, you can just download this version from the eShop, and then you can play pretty much any mode in the game as long as one person in your party has the full game.
Okay.
So there is that. But, you know, beyond that, can I give any compelling reason why you might want to pick it up? I don't know. I've been playing the game for a few hours, but I've mostly just been playing solo. I haven't had much of a chance to do multiplayer, unfortunately.
Okay. Do you know if the multiplayer is gimped in some way, if I don't have the full version? Kind of like how in like Mario Kart, I can only be Toad?
If you get the downloadable version from the eShop, then no, everything is available to you. And if you unlock content, it even stays there.
Oh.
And so if you do buy the game, it'll transfer over. If you do just download play, where you just download a chunk of software from your friend and don't get that version from the eShop, in that case, yes, then things are limited. But if you just get this free eShop version, then you have everything available to you. Like I said, the only restriction is you need to have one person in your party, no pun intended, that has the full game.
And everyone is Toad no matter what, right?
Sort of. The first mode, the mode that the game starts out with, is called Star Rush, after the game's title. And in that one, yes, everyone has to play as a Toad, not one of the main Mario characters like Mario or Luigi. And that's kind of dumb. But as you play the game, you run into other characters and they'll join your team. Or you can use Amiibo right off the bat so you can get those characters right from the start.
Okay.
When you're playing this mode, this is the one where everybody moves simultaneously and that part's good. The course design in the levels I played was kind of haphazard. It's not really like a board game anymore. It was much more wide open and just felt kind of unfocused. And the goal in this mode is to just walk around and collect stars and collect coins and beat bosses. And then the person with the most stars at the end wins.
Mm-hmm.
The boss battles are pretty fun. Moving around simultaneously is definitely a good thing, especially when you're playing against the computer where you don't even care what's going on. It's like, well, at least if it's my friends, I'm interested in what my friends are doing.
Yeah.
But if it's the computer, it's like, well, this is definitely a good thing to not have to worry about the CPU. There are still some games where you aren't directly involved, and that's kind of dumb, but it really does cut down on the wait time. So that's definitely cool.
So how long would a average play session take to get from the start to a boss?
Well, the bosses show up all the time.
Oh,
when
okay.
that's how you get the stars mostly. Your goal is to head over to one of these star areas. That's where the boss is, and then you play one of these boss fights. So just a few minutes, really. And I mean, it depends on the course. You know, some could take you half an hour. Some could probably take you more. Some would take you less. But yeah, only expected to be like 4 minutes or maybe even less before you get to the first boss.
Yeah.
Depending on the roll of the dice. In addition to that mode, there is a coinathlon mode where you just play a series of mini games to earn coins. The first player to reach a certain coin value wins. It does go on way too long in single player. I've beaten the computer several times, and it still just keeps on going and going. I'm like, man, I've done this 4 rounds already. When does it stop? There's also a balloon bash mode where you collect coins to spend them on stars. And you do that by collecting these coin balloons and star balloons. And then you also play mini games and boss battles and that. And that one, I believe you're not playing as Toads. You're playing as the major characters. And then another mode is called Rhythm Recital, which is just a simple rhythm game mode. It's not your traditional Mario Party board game at all. Just this simple and fairly dumb, to be honest, a rhythm game mode. I still kind of liked it because it was playing music from all these Mario songs. Mm-hmm. You get to see Donkey Kong like playing a horn or playing a flute, mm-hmm. which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Or any character. I was Donkey Kong just because I like the idea of gorillas playing instruments. But that was kind of funny. There are other modes as well, but I have not yet unlocked them. I've only put in, you know, maybe three or four hours with the game so far. The more you play, the more you level up, the more you unlock.
How many mini games do you think there are in this thing? Is it like 12 or something?
Oh, no. There's way more than that as far as mini games go. I mean, Mario Party is known for having its lots of mini games. So there's probably dozens, probably 50 or so.
Oh, wow. As you played, were you repeating mini games at a certain point? And was that getting kind of tiresome?
Not yet. I haven't really done a lot of mini game repeating so far. A couple of the bosses, yes. Mm-hmm. But the boss games are really fun. Probably the best part of the game. There's a rhythm game against a giant blooper. You throw shells at Petey Piranha, steal apples from a Mega Goomba, mm-hmm. whack Monty Mole with a hammer, which is, you know, kind of a clever take on whack-a-mole. Load up cannon so they fire at King Babam. And those are certainly some of the highlights of the game. And most of the minigames I played are fun, too. There are just a few that I encountered that weren't. Like, there's this one called Fruit or Foe, where you just have to randomly pick a door, and you either get some fruit, or you're attacked by a bad guy and lose. And that one was really good. Okay. But everything else, I pretty much enjoyed.
Okay.
So anyway, overall, you know, I think whether you should get this game or not highly depends on, you know, if you're going to be able to play it with friends, if you're a fan of this type of game. I think it is an improvement over previous handheld Mario Party games. So if you like this kind of thing, I think you should consider it. If you're really not, then, you know, you could probably pass on it too. But I think as far as a handheld party game goes, I would say it is a quality effort.
All right. I think this would pay off for me if I took my 3DS to like a nerd event, like a Comic-Con or a video game show.
Yeah, very possibly. Or, you know, some sort of family get together if you have
that's you true.
Know, brothers or sisters or nieces or nephews that mm-hmm. are into games.
Yeah, the holidays are a great time for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I can't give it a whole hard recommendation, but I think it is probably a quality product.
Or if I was in grammar school and my friends all had 3DSs and they took them to school with them. So
yes,
yeah,
that's a good point as well.
That would be cool. Mm-hmm. So good for kids, good for people with friends who can meet up in actuality and not just online.
Yeah, it's good for the type of game it is. But yeah, online would have been nice.
I feel like eventually someone's going to crack the nut of tunneling these gameplay sessions over a network, and we'll be able to play these remotely, even though Nintendo doesn't allow it. I think some sort of tunnel where your traffic and my traffic could go over an internet connection and we could still play the game. But I think that's a few years down the road without Nintendo's blessing.
Perhaps they'll make a new X-band modem for our 3DS system. Of course, one of the nice features about Mario Party Star Rush is that it is compatible with all the new Amiibo. Which, of course, brings us to our favorite discussion topic, Amiibo.
Amiibo!
There were 7 brand new Amiibo released on the same day as Mario Party, and they're sort of the definitive versions of many of the Mario characters. That would be Wario, Waluigi, Rosalina, Daisy, Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong, and Boo. Of course, I went ahead and picked all these guys up. Did you get any of these, Scott?
No.
Did any of them interest you?
No. Do they interest me? Maybe. Maybe, but Amiibos are a tough sell for me. They're they're just expensive enough to make me think, like, I don't want to collect these things. But, you know, I think at $8 I'm in, at $13 I'm not quite.
Well, I decided to just go ahead and get all these as they were released nonetheless. And I think they are pretty good figurines of some of the most notable Mario characters. They do look, you know, kind of flat in some ways. Like, a lot of the Smash Brothers Amiibo, you know, have a lot of detail and a lot of interesting shading. These are comparatively basic with just, you know, plain colors, fairly simple in a lot of ways. They do have plenty of details where required. Rosalina, I think, is probably one of the more detailed ones. You know, she even has colors on her fingernails. She has, you know, purple painted fingernails and nice details on some of her jewelry. But these are pretty simple compared to a lot of the Amiibo that are out there. Rosalina and Daisy do seem to be kind of on the tall side. I didn't realize they were taller than Luigi, so that's kind of weird. On the plus side, Boo glows in the dark, which is really nice, although he's also one of, like, he's like one of the smallest amiibo out there. He's probably the single smallest amiibo.
Yeah.
But the glow-in-the-dark feature is cool. And Diddy, who's not one of my favorite characters, I think that's a pretty cool amiibo because he sits on this barrel, and so it's kind of like a little diorama. And every time they do that with the amiibo, I tend to like it. I like it when they do it with Olimar. I like it when they did it with Link and, you know, had, or Wolf Link, I should say, when he's standing on the rocks. So anytime they add that little extra bit, I think it really makes the amiibo stand out. And so I would also say that's the case with Diddy Kong. Anyway, if you like these characters, I would say that these are cool versions of them. They look good. They look great on the shelf. And they do add a lot of functionality to the game as well. Pro tip, if you have a Dr. Mario amiibo, you can even unlock a bonus song in the rhythm recital mode.
They look great. I like the look of these a lot better than I like the Smash Brothers versions of a lot of these characters.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I might like the Smash ones better, but I still really like these as well, because this really is sort of their definitive, most traditional appearance, and I really like the idea of having figurines in those forms.
It's nice to have Daisy finally, right?
Yeah, yeah. Daisy, Boo, and Waluigi. This is the first time that we've ever got any of those. So if nothing else, those would probably be the ones to get.
Yeah, and the internet loves Waluigi, so that's probably going to be a good one to invest in if you're going to be a speculator on these things.
Yeah, I went out the day after they were released, and fortunately it doesn't seem like they were too hard to find. If you are interested in them, it seems that there is opportunity to do it. Looks like there's no crazy rush on any of these at the moment. Moving on to another new release, I've also been spending some time with Harvest Moon Sky Tree Village on the Nintendo 3DS.
Did you get the big box version of this, right? The deluxe version?
Or? Actually, I did not.
I did not.
I just got the digital download for this one.
Ah.
Didn't do the deluxe version. Nope, not this time. And if you're wondering what it is, well, it's a pretty typical Harvest Moon game. You know, once again, the land is dying, the harvest goddess has been forgotten, and so it's up to you as the heroic male or female farmer, it's your choice, it's your job to restore the land by harvesting crops and raising animals and fishing and mining, and that brings back happiness to everybody, and that restores the village, and people start moving in, etc., etc. So, you know, it's pretty traditional as far as Harvest Moon games go. If you played the last version, Harvest Moon The Lost Valley, I think that you'll be pleased to know that they have fixed some of the major issues with that game. Like, you know, before, there was no village, so you were just, it was your farm and this empty wilderness, and you just encounter people in this wilderness, but there was not actually a village. Obviously, there is in this one, since it's right there in the title, so that's been majorly improved. I think the appeal of the characters has been improved as well. Plus, in the previous game, you were stuck in this perpetual winter for a long time as a major plot point, but now it does not start out that way. You do start in kind of a dead landscape, but you immediately restore a chunk of it, and the more you play, the more it gets restored, the more you can access. One of the key features of the previous game was that you could alter the landscape and just sort of raise a hill or destroy a hill or whatever, you know, as much as you wanted, and that's all still in this game. It means that the environment is still really blocky because it's sort of like, you know, like Minecraft in the way that you're building or, you know, destroying parts of the landscape.
Just by looking at it, it looks like this and the Lost Valley games are both geared towards Minecraft fans. What do you think?
Right, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I can understand why they would go that route. And, you know, being able to completely form the landscape as you see fit is a cool feature. But yeah, I do wish they had been able to improve the visuals somewhat. Also, there is no 3D. The game is totally in 2D.
Oh, man,
so
that's weak.
That's a bummer.
That's a step backwards.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is crazy. I'm assuming it means the game's, you know, probably pushing too many polygons for the system to handle 3D.
The game visually seems so simple, so I don't know what the deal is.
That's really a shame.
Anyway, I've only put in about, you know, 3 hours with this one, too. I haven't even gotten through the first season. I'm only like halfway through it. But I'm pleased to say that I think it is a step up over the last game. You know, some of the major things that could be improved upon in the last game have been improved upon. And I think if you like the Harvest Moon series, you'll be happy to know that it is moving along the right track. And I think they're listening to fans and trying to make the game more what people expect. Mm-hmm. So, again, I can't fully recommend to everybody or anything like that, but it's pretty decent and pretty fun. It's a good way to relax.
Cool.
So let's move on from the impressions and get into some news. First off, I would like to talk about the new Nintendo 3DS system.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy for someone like me who owns two of these smaller new 3DSs. This blows my mind. Go ahead, tell us what the news is.
Yeah, well, it had been kind of hard to get your hand on the new 3DS. Not the new 3DS XL. That was easily attainable. But just the regular new 3DS was kind of hard to get. But now Nintendo has announced that there is a new version of it coming out on November 25th, just in time for Black Friday. It's only going to be $100. $100!
I'm speechless. This is big, big news, and it feels like it's a fire sale on this thing. are they clearing out stock?
I don't think so, because this is a brand new version of the system
It's limited edition.
There's two versions. Limited edition.
But does that mean the 3DS, this new 3DS, stays at that MSRP in perpetuity? So when they go back
I don't know. I mean, they generally don't sell the new 3DS that often. Like I said, the new 3DS XL, sure, that's easy to get. But this one, they sold in the Animal Crossing bundle.
Yeah, which I bought begrudgingly.
Yeah, and then there was the Mario bundle that I bought. And that was like, what, $160 or something?
Yeah, I paid almost $200 for the Animal Crossing one.
But this one, it's only $100. Comes in two versions, a black version and a white version, with custom Mario face plates. And, for that price, if you don't have a new 3DS in any form, how can you resist?
No, I couldn't. I'm literally going to buy one and keep it in the box because in 20 years when I want to, revisit these classics when they're classics. I want to do it on a new system. I think that's really going to be, it's going to be awesome to be able to have it at a price so cheap that why not just buy one and keep it in the closet for a little while.
Yeah, I think these things should sell like hotcakes to anyone who does not have this. It should be a big seller because it's a great system. There's tons of great games. It's got the improved 3D. It's got the extra joystick. It's got the extra buttons. And as long as it doesn't require standing in line for hours on the day after Thanksgiving, it's like a total no-brainer. So.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. At that price, it's like if you want to play Mario Party Star Rush, just get an extra system. So if you have a friend over, you'll have a 3DS just ready to go. That's $100. That's so cheap for what you're getting. Mm-hmm. That's a great deal.
Yep, absolutely.
Those are going to sell like crazy. Those are going to be as hard to find as the NES Classic. That's my prediction. There's no way they made enough of these things.
Yeah, even when the Mario one came out, that one was hard to get. So you're probably right. This will probably be tough as well. Of course, that's not the only upcoming Nintendo product we have to look forward to. Nintendo finally announced a release date for Dragon Quest VIII on the Nintendo 3DS. We know it's been coming for a long time, and now we have a date, January 20th, 2017. You looking forward to this one?
I'm on the fence, because I know it's not going to be a huge time suck, but...
Oh, it probably would be. I mean, it's Dragon Quest.
Hundreds of hours. It's like...
Yeah, so... I mean, 7... the 7 was the one that's like 100 hours, and they give you the beginner's guide that's 20 hours long.
Oh, man. That's right. Let's say I broke my leg skiing, yes. Then I will pick this up, and I'll have something to play while I'm in traction. For $40, I guess if I get 40 hours of fun out of it, then I'll have gotten my money's worth. And if I feel like I want to continue playing past that, then great. I probably will pick this up. It looks good. It looks, I love classic games, and it's got a new look. I'm in.
Yeah, personally, I just want to see this series continue to succeed in the West, and I don't think that 7 exactly sold gangbusters. But I'm definitely going to continue to support this. I'm planning to get 8. Again, I have a horrible problem with not actually finishing Dragon Quest games after I start them. In fact, I think I might have Dragon Quest VIII on the PlayStation 2 and I've never played it.
Oh, wow.
I'm not even sure. Still, looking forward to this one, and I'm glad it's coming sooner rather than later. I did not expect that we'd be getting it this early in the year, so that's some cool news. Also coming next year, Blaster Master Zero. Did you hear about this?
I did not know about this until you sent me your email, and I am so excited for this. It makes me wonder why hasn't anyone revisited Blaster Master, you know, since the original game? They have.
There was actually a Game Boy Color version called Blaster Master Enemy Below, and then there was an eShop version on the Wii, I believe. I guess a WiiWare version, mm-hmm. you would call it. And that game was really, really fun. I admit, I never finished it. But yeah, there was actually a WiiWare version that was pretty cool.
And I'm guessing Sunsoft they don't really exist anymore. So who developed those?
Development on those was actually credited to Sunsoft.
Yeah,
but Sunsoft, I imagine where you're going with that is that the developer on this one is IntiCreates, the guys that did Mega Man 0, Mega Man 9, Mega Man 10. So they know all about bringing back that retro feel. This is looking very similar to the classic Blaster Master. You know, maybe a little bit better than 8-bit, but you know, probably not quite 16-bit. I mean, it looks very much like a remake, but it's hard to tell.
It does. The only thing that, looking at the screenshots, the only thing that really screams that this isn't a screenshot from the NES version is the wider aspect ratio, slightly wider.
That's true. But just like the original, it combines, you know, 2D side-scrolling vehicle stages with sort of top-down on-foot stages. And they're a combination of action and exploration. You gain new weapons. You get new abilities for your vehicle. And, you know, I remember, you know, this was a really big deal back in the NES days. You know, Nintendo Power covered it heavily. It was pretty challenging, as I recall. There are a lot of, you know, tips for it in, like, the Counselor's Corner section. It wasn't one that I got really big into, but I have always enjoyed it. And it's pretty cool that it's making a comeback.
Yeah, I played it a ton, and I honestly wish it were on the NES Classic Edition.
Because NES Classic, yeah, that'd be awesome. It deserves to be there. And like I said, it's looking very, very true to the original. They're promising that it's going to have new areas and bosses, though, and new weapons, improved gameplay when you're outside of your tank, and a more robust scenario, whatever that means.
So when they say improved gameplay when you're outside of your tank, you mean when you're that 3-pixel-high little dude, or when you're in that top-down, like, three-quarter view?
They did not specify. This is just what they said, you know, on the website and in the press release.
I kind of liked when you were able to hop out of your vehicle and you're, like, 3 pixels high and you got the floaty, the very floaty. You almost feel like you're a flea jumping around the level. This floaty jumping gameplay style.
Yeah, that part was always fun. Now, one thing that they also talk about in the press release is that as far as the story goes, you know, it's like some whole weird post-apocalyptic thing, and you find some creature named Fred, and you're chasing after it. And of course, if you played the original, you know that you are chasing after your pet frog that ran down
a
hole in the sewer somewhere, and the whole thing is about finding your pet frog.
Yeah, who is kind of like turns into a mutant or something, right? Am I wrong about that?
I don't know. I never found him. And in fact, I believe that was a story modification that was made for the U.S. I don't think that you were chasing your pet frog at all in the Japanese version. That was just something they threw in there for us North American guys. So they haven't said that Fred is a frog, but it could be a frog. So who knows? We might have frogs. We might not have frogs. But you're chasing after some creature in your tank, which is still named Sophia the Third. And it's looking pretty darn cool.
It looks
cool.
Great. I think what they did with the Mighty Gunvolt, I really loved. So if it's anything like that, I'm in.
Yep, coming out in spring 2017, eShop exclusive on the 3DS. Looks really cool. Can't wait.
I hope it's in 3D.
Another game on the 3DS that we recently found out more about is a title called Miitopia that is coming out in Japan on December 8th. Is a quirky RPG featuring Mii. And in some ways, it has traditional elements of a Japanese role-playing game. You get to choose your job class, be things like a knight or a mage. But then there are these really wacky classes like a cook or a devil or a tank, like a literal tank or a cat. And then you choose a personality as well. You can be stubborn or energetic or other personality traits. Your goal in the game is to go out into the world, stop the bad guy who has stolen people's faces. So you have to somehow get their faces back. That's really messed up when you think about it, people not having faces, but you go get their faces back and you restore them. But in addition to this RPG questiness, You also have these me characters, and all your party is made up of your me's. And they also, you know, live together and interact with each other, sort of like Tamagotchi life. And how they interact affects your teamwork in battle. And apparently they get jealous of each other, or they might lie to you. And I guess your job is to sort of keep that all straight and make sure that they're all getting along and, you know, make sure that everyone is happy so you can have a cohesive unit in battle.
It looks like a Street Pass game plus, which
it does.
It looks like the that Street Pass adventure game a little bit, but of course there's a lot.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. But yeah, way more to it. Yeah, surprisingly, this is a full retail release over in Japan, but there are no U.S. plans announced so far.
I bet this is going to come over here. Localizing this would be totally worth it, I think, for them.
Well, I hope so. I'm always glad to get something new and unusual and quirky, and I'd hate to think we were missing out on something fun. So, yeah, I'd be all for it. I want to see it over here.
I only worry that the name is going to get confused with Miitomo, and people are... I just feel like it's going to...
Well, that's not the end of the world. They could always fix the name.
I think the name is problematic. Using the word me in front of a game and making them very simple like this, I worry. Just... the way Nintendo names things is very problematic.
Miitopia, Miitomo, but maybe if they call it like Miitopia, a Mii adventure, maybe they just call it Mii Quest or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that would avoid any confusion if they do indeed decide to bring it out here. It also uses Amiibo to get new outfits in the game, so that's another cool thing about it and another good reason I would have for enjoying it. But yeah, speaking of Miitomo, there's a big update coming right about now. I think it's supposed to happen tonight, and so probably as we record this, probably by the time this episode comes out, the update might already be out. It's supposed to allow people to send direct messages to each other. Finally, you get to customize your room with flooring and wallpaper and posters.
Wow. Yeah.
Finally.
I just feel like they're way, way too late with this.
It seems pretty late. They should have months ago.
Shoot, they should have had that update ready at launch or within a week or two.
Yeah, like a month or
no
something.
No one
maybe.
Is using Miitomo anymore. It was.
I am. I'm the only one.
For a hot second, Miitomo was unavoidable. For a hot second.
Yeah, it was crazy for like a week or so.
They did not capitalize on that. They could have had a juggernaut if they just kept, I don't know. I hope they learned their lesson with this. I really hope they learned an important lesson with how mobile games need to work. You can't just, thing sat dormant for, I don't know, it's been like a year.
It only came out back in spring, but right, it has been a ghost town for
months.
It has
been. I have tumbleweeds in my Miitomo land.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm still on there, and I still interact with some of the listeners of the show, so that's fun. But yeah, I mean, all of my real-life friends, except like maybe one, maybe two, I think there's only one person left I know in real life that's still on there.
Yeah.
So it's pretty pathetic. To continue with the list, though, it also is you're going to be able to share outfits in a mode called Style Central and answer public questions in a mode called Answer Central and create sidekick Miis that can have their own customizable rooms. So knowing all that is coming in this update, do you think you'll try getting back into it? Or are you done?
I mean, I'll open it and update the app and maybe poke around for a minute, but the window has passed for me spending money inside this app. Like, you know, if at launch I could have put a Mario wallpaper in my little house, maybe they would have had me, but they lost that opportunity. So,
but you will be willing to give it a try.
I will give it a try. I'll give it a try. I don't expect to see any of my friends doing the same. And if you're out there listening and you're still using Miitomo, let me know. Tweet at the Power Pros Pod Twitter account and let us know if you're...
Well, I know about them because I think I'm interacting with them on Miitomo still.
Oh, really?
Those are probably the only people that I'm interacting with.
That's a shame.
Me and some of our listeners. Anyway, like I said, that goes up really soon. It's probably going to be live by the time you listen to this. And something else that will be available very, very soon, as we alluded to earlier, is the NES Classic System.
Yes.
It's finally going to be out. I know we're both very excited about that, both looking forward to it, both worried that we won't be able to get our hands on one.
Yeah, so this episode is going to go live on Thursday. We're recording this Wednesday. So,
right.
Chris, I tweeted at you yesterday, I didn't have a plan for getting one of these. I just didn't know what I was going to do. You had some really great suggestions. Could you let the listeners in on how you feel is the best way to secure one of these things on launch day?
Well, the first thing I would try to do would probably be to see if some of the major retailers put this thing up for order, you know, once the 11th hits. That's the official on sale date. So, you know, check around midnight and see if maybe you can get it from Target or Best Buy. And you can just say, yes, I'll buy this, do an in-store pickup and go grab it, you know, once the store opens the next day. So that'd be my first plan. Don't know if it'll work.
And but are there pages set up for the NES Classic on those websites right now?
Oh, yeah. I've been checking the Best Buy one constantly.
So there is a page for it. So if you just camp there and hit refresh at midnight, you think midnight Eastern or
maybe
we're on the West Coast.
I would check Eastern and then I would check Western. Okay. If Eastern doesn't do it, you never know.
So you're telling some people on the East Coast of the U.S. that they're going to have to be up till possibly 3 a.m. hitting the refresh button.
Well, if you want to cover your bases, probably not a bad idea. So no guarantees this is going to work, but that's the first thing I would do. And if that fails, then I guess it's getting up early and probably stand in line.
Okay.
But the reason I brought this up wasn't to talk about the difficulty of getting it or standing in line. I want to talk about the very cool fact that the Nintendo Power Line is coming back in celebration of this thing. You know what the Power Line is, right?
Oh, of course. I've called it. I remember it when it was when there was an 800 number. This is back in the even before the Power Line, I believe. Mm-hmm. There was an 800 number, and it would basically be a pre-recorded message that would like bring you previews of upcoming games and tips and things for games. It was an 800 number, and I loved calling that, and that was a precursor to, I believe it was a precursor to the Power Line. And I've called the Power Line. Have you called the Power Line? Do you have a Power Line story?
I have. I'm certain I have. I don't remember anything in particular. I want to say maybe I called them up about how to beat a boss in the G.I. Joe video game or something like that, because I wrote them a letter and they didn't give me good answers. I had to call them up and still try to get some tips. But yeah, it was their game counselor line.
That's right.
And so you would call it up and they would give you tips on, you know, any game under the sun. And, you know, it was not a 900 number. It would just, you know, cost you a long distance. And, you know, they were game counselors or gameplay counselors, as they were also at Nintendo, with these binders full of tips. And they would give you the advice you needed to get through these games.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as an homage to that, it is back for 3 days only, from November 11th to November 13th. And you aren't talking to live gameplay counselors, but you will get pre-recorded messages and tips, and you will get to hear some stories from the actual gameplay counselors themselves.
That's cool. I'm excited for that. I, back in the day, called the Power Line twice. Once was for Adventures of Lolo, and the second time, it's funny that you remember these things as a kid, because it was such a big deal, because we were calling, it was Seattle from New Jersey, so that was a long distance call, so it was like, talk to your parents and make sure that it's okay to call Seattle for 5 minutes to get a tip from, you know, some sketchy phone number that you found in the back of your booklet. But of course, it wasn't sketchy at all. So Adventures of Lolo, and the other game was Solstice on the NES.
Kind of an obscure one.
Which were both very difficult puzzle games. And and the counselor in both instances was able to walk me through step by step how to finish the level we were stuck on. So that was super
very nice.
Cool. The Power Line was just a product of its time. You know, there was no internet. You couldn't look up a solution anywhere. You know, it was either get it from your friends on the playground, or it was luck into a solution on your own, or it was calling this phone number. So I think that's really neat.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
And if you're gonna pick up an NES Classic, I challenge you to try to play it as we did back in the olden days. Don't go rushing to the GameFAQs for a walkthrough of Metroid or looking up a map for a level. Challenge you to get some graph paper, get a pencil, and honestly, sketch out a map for yourself. It's the way we did it as kids, and honestly, you might even be tempted to look up a solution. I think your best bet is to get a PDF of the booklet of the game, the original PDF, and play it as we did originally. You'll have all the instructions. There are definitely hints in a lot of these booklets for the games, the official booklets.
Yeah, Nintendo's making those all available online Great. For everyone to have access
Great.
To.
Great. And so. Like, mm-hmm. You know, Zelda came with a fold-out map, so don't deny yourself that at least. There was a fold-out map, and not all of it was filled in, and that was a challenge for the gamer to explore those unmapped areas. So... yeah, do that. I think you're going to get a lot more out of these games if you play it as they were originally intended.
Well, if you decide you do want some tips, though, and you do want to call the power line, which I certainly am going to do, you can do it by calling 425-885-7529. 3 days only, so be sure to check it out. Real quickly, though, one other thing about the NES Classic. I'm just curious, Scott, what are the first... five games you are most excited to play?
Okay, here are my five. Mega Man 2, I probably mm-hmm. play and finish it once or twice a year. It's mm-hmm. just a lot of fun, and it's very easy to play through, especially when you know what order to attack the bosses in.
Okay.
I definitely want to play through Zelda again on it. I think that'll be a lot of
Zelda
fun
1.
With save states. Punch Out with Mr. Dream.
Okay.
Castlevania for sure.
All right.
And the fifth game is Kid Icarus, which is a game I've never finished.
Oh,
and
right.
I think the save states are going to make it possible for me to finally finish Kid Icarus.
Yeah, I think so. Cool. For me, it would be Mega Man 2, Zelda 2, and then probably Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3. Although, if I have a friend around, it'll be Super C instead of one of those
yeah.
Mario games.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's going to be it for me. I think we're wrapped up with our news segment now, but before we move on, do you want to talk about that contest that we've
yes.
had going on?
We got a little experiment going to go on right now during the show. I'm going to pick a winner via random.org, which is a random number generator.
Live choosing.
We had 72 entries. We are giving away a backlit Game Boy. It's an original Game Boy. It's backlit, so you can play it in the dark, and it's also got the Bivert mod installed, which makes for darker colors, basically. Makes it look better. Good luck, and here we go.
All right, drum roll, please.
Okay, so the winner is the random.org number generator. Just picked number 50.
Okay.
We had 72 entries, and the 50th person on my list is... I don't want to say this person's full name, so it's Lucio B., and the Twitter account is
right.
Lucio Tweets. So, Lucio, you're getting a Game Boy.
All right. Congratulations, Lucio.
We did include all the folks that emailed us who didn't have Twitter accounts, so you guys were definitely included in this drawing. We're going to do this again sometime soon, so stay tuned.
Oh, boy.
Next time, get ready, it's going to be a Game Boy Advance. We're not going to start that one yet, but we'll let you know
wow.
when we do. This is going to be an original Game Boy Advance, but the screen is going to be bright, so stay tuned for that.
Again, congratulations to our winner, and thanks for everyone who participated. Why don't we take a little intermission, and when we come back, we'll discuss our big topic, which is how we want to see ports handled on Nintendo Switch. Right, we are back and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is how we want to see ports handled on the Nintendo Switch. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, ports from other systems coming to Switch. We've seen footage of Mario Kart and Splatoon, both of which appear to be ports of the Wii U titles coming to Switch. We've also heard just earlier this week the CEO of Tantalus, that's the developer that brought Twilight Princess HD over to Wii U. He was saying, I can confirm that we're working on Switch, and we have been for some time. Our titles have not been announced yet, but keep an eye out for more news soon, which means his company is not doing Kart and is not doing Splatoon, but given their track record, they could be porting some other games. And in fact, even encouraged fans to suggest ideas for ports via their Facebook page. So we figured, hey, this seems like a great time to discuss what we want out of these ports that are, without question, going to be coming to the Switch one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't we start with the ones that we kind of know are coming? Let's start talking about Mario Kart. We're almost certainly getting some sort of enhanced version of Mario Kart 8. Scott, what do you want to see them do when they port this sucker over to Switch?
Oh, man. So we saw that there's a second power-up. I think that's a really, really neat option. I'd love to see some sort of...
That's what it looks like.
I know this sounds weird. Maybe some kind of story mode with Mario Kart. I don't know how that would
happen. Oh, yeah.
Happen,
I'd love that. That'd be awesome.
But I think a story mode would be neat.
I totally agree.
The other thing I'd really love to see is third-party characters making appearances in Mario Kart, where, like, I would love to see Shovel Knight in Mario Kart.
Well, you make a very good point, and that is that Mario Kart is basically Super Smash Kart already.
Yeah.
They've opened the door with F-Zero and with Animal Crossing and with The Legend of Zelda. So it's gone far beyond Mario Kart now. And I completely agree. I would love to see other franchises get in there. I think that a Metroid track would be really, really cool.
Wow.
I wish I could take credit for this, but it was a friend of mine who came up with the idea. You know, what if, like, on the third lap, suddenly it's like, oh, Mother Brain's destroyed, self-destruct initiate, and the whole track is, like, collapsing all around
awesome.
You, and everything is just, exploding as you try to, get there on the final lap.
Yeah.
I think that would be really, really cool.
I like that.
I'd also love to see, like, a Pikmin track where everything is, giant-sized, and you're going through, this oversized world. And then what you were saying about third parties, I think, is a great idea also. Personally, I'd love to see them talk to Square Enix and bring back Rad Racer in some way.
Oh, wow. That would be really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you obviously wouldn't have a character driving a Rad Racer car, but to see that 8-bit style F1 car or that whatever it is, a Firebird
or Ferrari.
Camaro. A Ferrari.
Yeah, maybe just for your Miis could drive the Ferrari or whatever it was. But, have a track based on that, have that old... music based on that. I think that would be really cool. But I love your idea of Shovel Knight too. That would be really
fun. Or Sonic. Why couldn't Sonic come to the party? And why couldn't there be a Sonic level? That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be really,
I agree.
Really neat.
I agree. And Sonic's have been in some really cool racing games himself with Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transforms. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a great fit. But of course, in a more general sense, I think it's obvious that we would want, all the DLC tracks to be included in this one. Want to see additional tracks, additional characters. So this would include, this would be like the definitive edition. All the stuff we had to download before would be available on the Switch version right out of the box. And then just continue to pump out new content. I mean, if they don't want to do a Mario Kart 9 yet and just want to keep doing more DLC for like a year or two, I'll be fine with that, man.
I'd love to see Mario Kart become some sort of competitive esport. I know that's probably not an option because of the way the game works, where if you're at, in last, you get a super powerful power up. So there could be some goal breaking going on. But
But I could see a mode where they don't have that, that is made specifically for that sort of thing.
Exactly. I think a mode where it's just very pure racing and all the cars are equal, all the characters are equal, and it's kind of like stock car racing. Maybe you get one power up for the whole, round, and you have to figure out what power up you're going to choose. And I think that would be really, really neat.
Yeah, it does seem like that they are embracing esports a little bit with the preview video. So yeah, I can see that could be really cool. Moving on to the next one, Splatoon. What kind of things would you like to see brought over for that one?
I hate to say it, I've been playing Splatoon because I get motion sick. which you've heard a bunch on the show. So
for me,
I think if there's a capacitive touchscreen on this screen, I'd I'd possibly be interested in see them working in some touchscreen functionality into the game. I know that's probably not what people would want, but I think that might be an interesting option. What do you think? I mean, you know, you could obviously see yourself painting a screen with your finger. I don't know what power up that would be, or maybe you'd have a spray paint can or something.
I mean, I guess I'm not against that. It wouldn't be bad. An alternate way to play would be my first choice. You know, I think the obvious things would be, you know, lots of new maps, lots of new weapons. And, you know, I also haven't played it as much as a lot of people, but I've heard from my friends that they still find it rather difficult to, you know, properly form teams and play with friends or against friends in all the modes. So just having better options for doing all that stuff, I think, is one of the key things that would be important for this port.
Yeah, I think if they're going to go after the esports folks, the people who like to play competitively, maybe a ladder ranked system, kind of like how Blizzard has done with some of their competitive games. So it actually has, you know, a system where, you know, the matchmaking is kind of fair and you can try to punch above your weight class if you want, but you'll be penalized more for it if you lose. So I think a ladder ranked system would work really well.
But while I understand that, you know, multiplayer is the focus and that's really what the game is all about, as a fan of the single-player mode, I would love to just see them add a couple additional single-player scenarios or chapters or something of that nature, just so, you know, people who enjoy that kind of experience would also have a reason to repurchase the game.
Yeah.
So I would love to see that thrown in there as well.
And I'm going
to
say something completely insane, but why not? I don't see why this system couldn't have a VR headset, and I think Splatoon would be an ideal kind of game for a VR experience. I know it would probably make some people super motion sick, but I think that would be really neat.
Well, I can't say I see that one happening, but sure, why not? Let's aim for that pie in the sky. Moving on to another game that a lot of people are kind of hoping or expecting to come over to Switch, and that is Smash Brothers. I suppose the first thing to discuss is what characters we would like to see added. Presumably, if there is a port, it would include all of the characters that have previously been available through DLC. The first one I would like to see added, though, would probably be the Inkling.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I think people would go crazy for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Splatoon had come out just a little earlier, then the Inkling would have been a complete shoo-in for a DLC character in the Wii U version of Smash Brothers. And the 3DS version, of course. But I think the game just hadn't been out quite long enough for, you know, that, you know, Splatoon mania to take hold. So I feel like that character is an absolute no-brainer given how popular that series has been among Nintendo fans. After that, you know, I've talked about some of these other characters I'd love to see before. Professor Layton, of course. Captain Toad would be great. Obviously, the Amazon from Pro Wrestling. And then, you know, bring back all of the previous games characters like the Ice Climbers and Star Wolf. I can take or leave Solid Snake, but I think all the other ones, you know, there aren't any technical hangups like there were before. So, you know, bring them all back. You can have, was it 16 Ice Climbers on the screen at once? Maybe it'd only be 8 Ice Climbers if they don't have an 8-player mode, but bring them all back. Make it the ultimate version in that sense. Are there any characters that you'd want to see?
I'd love to see more homages to the 8-bit era and possibly the 16-bit era. I'm not quite sure. Something along the lines of, you know, Duck Hunt Dog, you know, the Gyromite guy. I know Rob is...
Well, we already got Rob, yeah.
You got Rob, but I think the Gyromite, the sleepwalking Gyromite guy might be interesting. I also think... I think Mega Man, even though he takes on the powers of the bosses, I think some of the Mega Man bosses might be fun to play as. Dr. Wily, I think. You know,
wouldn't be against that for sure.
Dr. Robotnik.
I think Little Mac needs an opponent. Maybe King Hippo.
Oh yeah, some of the with alternate blue nipple version. Other Punch Out fighters would be really, really fun. I think there was a Street Fighter game that had a joke like. The box art Mega Man as a playable character.
Oh, that was Street Fighter versus Tekken.
Street Fighter versus Tekken. So I'd like to see them have a sense of humor with some of these things, and maybe something like a box art Mega Man could be a character. I don't know what that is right now. What could you think of some parody character along the lines of Box Art Mega Man?
Well, of course.
Like who?
We've been talking about them for ever since last week.
Oh, Captain N.
Simon Belmont, of course.
Oh my gosh, that would be incredible.
Yeah, just put in Captain N. Bring in Captain N. Also bring in Nestor.
What about Bob Hoskins as Super Mario or Captain Lou as Super Mario? Like a 3D rendered Captain Lou?
Sure. Why not?
You're not buying in? What about Mr. T? What if I could play as Mr. T?
I'm the wrong person to ask about that. In addition to the new characters, though, I'd also like to see a few new modes. Like, one of the things they've done in some Mario Party games is had a tower mode where you go up and up this tower and you have to face these increasingly more difficult challenges. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see something like that implemented in Smash Brothers. You know, maybe it's multiple choice. Maybe you'd have to beat all of the challenges. But, you know, it's like here, maybe you have to beat, you know, certain characters using only certain characters or, you know, not having access to certain weapons or only using certain weapons, you know, just various adjustments to the gameplay like that, that let you keep going higher and higher, overcoming different challenges. And, you know, for that matter, I would love to see the return of a real story mode. Mm-hmm. You know, they had, of course, Subspace Emissary in Brawl. And while I don't necessarily expect them to do something that extensive, it sure would be cool if they did something that was even, you know, remotely along those lines. I really like what they did in the GameCube version. You know, that wasn't a really extensive story mode, but it was still pretty cool and added a lot of variety. And, you know, I think the single player is the aspect where the 3DS and Wii U versions were kind of lacking compared to past Smash games. So I would love to see them improve that and really add something new along those lines to a potential Switch version.
Cool. Pie in the sky time, I would like to see an augmented reality version of Smash Bros. Where if I
augmented
it would
reality.
You know, point the screen at a physical object in my, you know, house, and the characters are jumping on chairs and around you know, ottomans and stuff. I think that would be really neat. But
well, I guess we'll have to confirm that the system has a camera first, huh?
Yeah, that's right. There, we don't know if it does or not. I assume it does.
Yeah, we'll
but
have to find out. What about Mario Maker? Would you want to see that get ported over to Switch?
For sure, especially if the screen has a touch, is touch, capacitive touch.
See, I'm kind of thinking I don't, because if the system is loaded into the dock, that means you wouldn't be able to use a touch screen.
Yeah.
So if you're playing it on your big screen, you know, it would be really hard to create stuff.
It would be.
If it does have a touch screen, I guess you could, you know, create it, you know, just holding it, you know, like a tablet.
That's right.
And then you could plug it into the dock,
yeah.
And then you could still play your stages on the TV. Mm-hmm. And then I suppose it's also possible that there's some sort of, you know, touch functionality in the thing that connects the two Joy-Cons. You know, it's not a screen, but it's possible there's some touch functionality in there. I'm not betting on it or anything. And that would still not be the ideal way. But the fact that you probably, you wouldn't have any great way to create levels while you're looking at it on your TV screen tells me that it probably is not a good fit for the Switch, and they might just want to pass on this one.
Yeah, I think with the Switch, it might be, I don't know how this would work, but I'd like to collaboratively build a level with another person, either online or local play. So,
oh yeah, that is in the 3DS version.
So that would be mm-hmm. nice to bring over to, although in the 3DS version, it's like you pass the level over to that person, so you can't both cooperatively build at the same time. I would really
to
be able to cooperatively at the same time build levels.
No, you make a good point. Yeah, that would be a cool feature if they do decide to bring it to Switch after all. So beyond those, which have all been rumored in the past, are there any other games that you would just love to see get ported over to Nintendo Switch from Wii U or Wii or even GameCube?
I know they just revisited the Wind Waker for the Wii U, so I don't expect this to happen, but to have a portable version of Wind Waker would be really nice. Because we have Majora's Mask, Ocarina of Time, and it'd be nice to follow up with one more portable version, which is the Wind Waker. Mm-hmm. And then it'd be nice to also get Twilight Princess after that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have thought of either of those games because, like you said, they did just come out on Wii U. But yeah, having them portable does have a certain appeal. Personally, though, I was thinking, you know, why not Skyward Sword? You know, we got the two previous games, so let's just jump over to Skyward Sword. Let's reconfigure the controls mm-hmm. in some way that are, you know, more appropriate for the Switch. So, you know, maybe you aren't, you know, swinging the sword as much. Maybe you're not raising the sword over your head. Or maybe you are, because, you know, one of the rumors is that these Joy-Cons do have motion built in. Or maybe they could be, you know, some special controller attachment that's, you know, a sword attachment that goes on the right side or something like that. But, you know, I think, you know, getting that game in HD and configuring controls to work best with the Joy-Cons and the Switch, I think it could be a lot of fun. So, yeah, more Zelda, mm-hmm. always good. Of course, Breath of the Wild is probably going to keep us busy for months and months on end, so they probably don't need to do those anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't expect to get another Zelda for a while, but...
Anything else?
So this is me being a little selfish. I know that not everybody out there is going to want this, but I do. I love Pinball Arcade. The Farlight Studios folks that make this really cool pinball simulator with the classic pinball tables. I would love a port of that for the Switch with a physical plunger on the controller. A little plunger would be awesome. That's the thing that launches your ball. Neat. And then two buttons on the side of the controller to act as flippers. So I'm not just hitting up on a D-pad and pressing a button. I'd love to get...
I could hit your shoulder button, you know, your L and R buttons. That probably works pretty well.
It just doesn't...
I know what you mean. It's not completely authentic to pinball controls.
It's not authentic, and I feel like it'd be nice to have some sort of rumble functionality built into the controller too. So if that's a possibility, you know, you could feel the ball hit the it's kind of like Metroid pinball on the DS. So that's me being selfish. I don't know. I know not everyone would want a port like that, but I do.
It's funny. See, I thought you were going to say the game that I'm about to discuss, Luigi's Mansion, because I know you're a big fan.
Oh, for sure.
And I've been wanting them to do an enhanced version of Luigi's Mansion for ages. I thought it would have made great sense on the Wii. I thought it maybe would have made sense on the Wii U. But hey, why not? Let's just bring it over to Switch. Let's make this thing in high definition. And you know, if indeed the Joy-Con does have some sort of you know, pointer functionality, I'd love to see that get integrated, so you could use that to, you know, you move around with the stick, use this pointer functionality to aim where you want to vacuum stuff up with Luigi's vacuum machine, the Poltergust, and just use that as sort of a new play control style version of Luigi's Mansion, just make it look a whole lot prettier. I think that would be really cool. It's a game that deserves to be revisited, too.
It does. I love Luigi's Mansion is still, I think, my favorite game on the 3DS.
I mean, I was thinking the original, but yeah, if they did the original, of course, a version of Dark Moon also, that would also be cool. Either one. I'll be open to either one of those. And along the same lines, I think that Super Mario Sunshine is one from the GameCube days that deserves to come back. And I think it also benefit from some sort of pointer controls if that's a feature of the Switch controller. Yeah. I think, you know, being able to move around while aiming your water gun would be a really great feature that you know, they didn't get to implement on the GameCube version. So I think that could be really, really cool. The last two games that I would like to see ported over, and those would be Super Mario Galaxy 1 and Galaxy 2. You know, why not just get new spiffy enhanced versions of those?
Mm-hmm. Don't give Nintendo any ideas. Don't you want a Super Mario Galaxy 3?
Sure, but, you know, first we're going to get this new Super Mario game, presumably.
All right.
Then in the meantime, while they're working on that one, then they'll have Tantalus give us HD version of Galaxy 1 and Galaxy 2, and maybe by then they'll be ready to give us a brand new Galaxy 3. But those are some, you know, fantastic platformers. They, you know, were really, really good on Wii. Let's just spruce up a little bit more, and we can have some of the best platformers of all time on Switch. So those would certainly make my list.
My one other request is Thousand Year Door to come over with HD graphics, because I can play Thousand Year Door on my GameCube, or on my GameCube, but I would much prefer to play it on the go.
Yeah, that would be a great one. That's an awesome game, and you know, every time a new Paper Mario comes out, that's what people say. They're like, well, it's not Thousand Year Door, so I think that would be a great way to perhaps satisfy those people. And yeah, portable version would make it even
for
better.
For sure.
Good choice.
All this said, I would I would prefer they don't lean too heavily on ports. I would rather get new game.
Like, well, me neither.
I would rather not see, you know, like Super Punch-Out on the Wii ported over wholesale to the Switch. I'd much rather a new Punch-Out game. So in the same way, obviously, we all want a new Zelda game.
Well, yeah. Totally. But it seems we're not getting that. It seems like they are relying heavily on ports for the system. So let's just embrace it and hope for the best.
We're embracing the ports. We're embracing the ports. Yeah. We'll be happy with what we get. You'll like it. Hey, you like Mario Kart 8, right? Here it is again.
Well, I think that does it for this topic. And that pretty much brings this show to a close. But before we wrap it up, you know what we have time for, Scott?
A dramatic reading.
Yes, a dramatic reading. This time from the back of the box of the NES game, Snake's Revenge. The following commands may be ignored by cowards, traitors, and enemy spies. After his ironclad plan to rule the world rusted away, crazed Colonel Vermin Katafi went psycho. Unfortunately, your two best friends took the brunt of his frenzy and lost their fight to live. As nutty as ever, Katafi has sought asylum from the world's premier bad guy, Hyarola Cockamamie. Grateful to this Rola radical, the Colonel has donated the biggest, baddest, ultra-chic nuclear attack tank to his fellow madman's world-dominating cause. Now your mission is to not only save Earth, but to inflict revenge. It's a job you'll definitely take personally as you infiltrate a nation of armed lunatics. Blow up a battleship, hijack a train, locate dozens of weapons and a truth serum that'll force enemy commanders to spill their guts. Then, destroy Vermin, Hyarola, and the Earth-threatening device with one lethal blow. All this while staying in radio contact with a foxy spy named Jennifer and a stealth copter pilot who will be hovering nearby. So what do you think, Snake? Are you commando enough to handle this cockamamie scheme?
Oh my. Wow. I don't even know where to start with that. That was a mess. I'm not buying that game based purely on that. Those are the stupidest names.
All I can say is it's no wonder that that is not officially part of Metal Gear canon.
Yeah. So how did Ultra produce this and not Konami? What, do you know the story behind this?
Oh, Ultra is just part of Konami. It is, okay. It was just an alternate brand they created to get around some Nintendo's licensing rules.
Oh, that's right. Because Nintendo only allowed each developer to make a certain number of games each year, right?
Yeah, at one point that was the case. And so Metal Gear was published under the Ultra label as well.
I see.
But yeah, I don't know if this is really the story to the game. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I really haven't played it. And but I know they used some of the same wacky character names on the back of the original Metal Gear box, even though it had nothing to do with what actually happened in the game. So who knows?
Wow. Look at these names. They're just silly. Hyarola Cockamamie. It's like they got somebody's dad to come in and make a bunch of dad jokes and write the back of the box art. Like,
well, it is obviously a parody of Ayatollah Khomeini.
Or and Gaddafi, right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, Ayatollah Hyarola Cockamamie. Ayatollah Khomeini.
Yes. Ah, see, now you get it.
And Vermin Gaddafi is...
Muammar Gaddafi.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Oh, boy. Yep.
Well, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Scott at PlasticBugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, it would be great if you would give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Michella,
Cockamamie,
and those two tough guys, the bad dudes,
I'm bad.
We will see you next time.